I take this opportunity today to discuss my beloved Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. I am very honored to be one of those who has been given this honor to speak something about him. I regard it as a great honor to be a student of such a great Ustad. And at the same time, I feel like a dwarf in front of a great giant. It's only now that we realize the greatness of this great personality. With regard to Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, I would mention three aspects of his life that I came into contact with. The first was being an ustad, and not only an ustad to myself, but in the very small family that we are, we have approximately 10 persons that have directly benefited from Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. As an ustad, there are two important characteristics out of the very many that I would like to speak about, and more so because it had an impact on my life as an individual. Firstly, compassion. Because I attended or I became familiar with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali at a time when he was at the Waterfall Islamic Institute, and I had an opportunity of spending many years with him there. The first lesson or the first compassion that I witnessed from him was my very initial month that I registered at the institute. As a young boy, any person that would have went to that August institute, it was something that was tough, it was difficult, and we always planned on how could we get out of there as soon as possible. So within the first month, I played sick and felt that this is not for me and I should go back home. And I truly was not sick, but I just made up my sickness thinking that perhaps this would be a means of me getting back home. And I remember myself not going to school on this one morning. I was lying in the sick bay, which used to be normally dormitory one. And between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib came there to the sick bay. And he sat by my side, he held my hand, he placed his hands on my forehead. He must have read something. As a young boy, I don't even know what he must have said. I was too young to even to comprehend and to appreciate this. And he brought along with him a console jar, those big jars that you used to get. And it was filled with honey water. And he told me, you should have this. I knew I was not sick. I did not need to have that. But maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed it into my heart through his barakah that I should have this drink. And I drank it for a day or two. And perhaps that was the turning point for me that made me stay for the next 5 years in that very same institute. That was the compassion that I had witnessed, and perhaps there were many other students that have witnessed this type of compassion from him in all different forms. There were times that we were perhaps punished, and we always felt sometimes that punishment was out of anger, but certainly that punishment was never out of anger. It was out of compassion, that after a little bit of punishment, Hafiz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would turn towards the one who had been punished, would give him that broad smile, would tease him, would play with him, you know, would make eyes to him. This showed that this was the compassion he had in his heart. He had this love and this yearn and this desire that the person must get the Qur'an-e-Kareem, he must remember the Qur'an-e-Kareem, he must memorize the Qur'an-e-Kareem. That was his compassion. The second was dedication, and this, I'm sure every student and every person that knew Hafiz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali will definitely agree with the dedication as an ustad that he had. There were many incidences of his dedication, and everyone will have something to say, but there is one moment that I remember very clearly and very vividly in my mind, and that was the day when Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's youngest son Mu'adh passed away. He was a very young boy. He was very likable, very jolly. He was loved by his father as well as he was loved by the students. And he apparently was ill for a number of days. He met up in an accident. It's a long story behind it. But the day he had passed away, I don't remember the exact day. But perhaps, if my memory does not fail me, it must have been a Saturday or a Sunday, a weekend, whatever it was. And we attended the funeral, the Janaza Salah, and we completed the burial rites. And the normal procedure would be that after the burial rites, a person will go home and, you know, the family members and other friends would come and pass their condolences, etc. Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, after he had buried his very beloved son, immediately thereafter, he found his place and he found his consolation in none other than the Hifz class. That he was in the classroom, dedicating himself to the students again, and he felt that was the best Isale Sawab that he could send to his beloved son. So this was the dedication, which whatever opportunity he found to get hold of a student who's prepared to learn the Quran al-Kareem, he made that his endeavor. So that's the one category or the one field of activity as an ustad. We can speak for hours and hours and hours as an ustad, how compassionate he was, how dedicated he was, how articulate he was, etc., etc. In fact, if we look at ourselves, the Quran al-Kareem that we had acquired, it was really and truly through his dedication, through his barakah, and through his dua, without which, most certainly, this great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have been a means of our honor today. Secondly, as a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was unfortunate that many a citizens and residents of this country, specifically the Muslim Ummah, did not recognize Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib rahmatullah alayhi as a wali. I happened to be speaking to a number of my friends about him after his demise, and you know, I have been ridiculed and criticized by them that why did you not inform us about such a great personality prior to this. So very few people actually recognized him as a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are three things that would say, to speak volumes of the caliber and category of wilayat that Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib rahmatullah alayhi possessed. Firstly, the incident that is extremely very famous, which we've heard over and over again from many ulama, and Hazrat Hakim Sahib, Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, has mentioned it and many occasions as well. And I find myself to be very honored that I was present in that very gathering when Hazrat Hakim Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, asked after Abdul Rahman Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, it was a special visit that we made on his very first visit, then how many huffaz did you make? And at that time he replied that when I go to the qabr, then I would know how many huffaz I have really made. This shows the ikhlas and sincerity that Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib rahmatullah alayhi had, that his entire life was focused upon pleasing Allah Rabbul Azza. The second was, in many occasions I asked him myself that I would like to take bi'at, and I requested him on many occasions that I would like to become his murid. And he told me that I have made you murid long time, and that is that I only make bi'at with the Quran al-Kareem. To me, the Quran al-Kareem is everything. So that was his dedication, his level of wilayat, his attachment to the Quran al-Kareem. And thirdly, and this is, I think, a reminder for myself and also for all those students of Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, that at one time he personally told me that he said, you know, whatever wrong I've done to you, I ask you sincerely that you should please pardon me and you should please forgive me. I ask you for maaf. And then he told me that whichever of my students you meet and wherever you meet them, please ask them to forgive me. This was a request he made personally to me, that whichever of my students you meet, please ask them to forgive me. And those of his students that would be listening to this or that are listening to it, I would make this request that from our hearts we should certainly not harbor any type of, there is no reason for us to harbor ill feelings towards Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. He was a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In doing so, we are just harming ourselves. There is no need for us to even forgive him, and that is what I told him at that time. There is no reason why we should actually forgive you. But if you do insist from the bottom of our hearts, there is nothing that you've done wrong to us. In fact, we should seek your forgiveness for all the disrespect that we had shown to you. The third category that I would like to discuss is the various advices that Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib rahmatullah alayhi would give. There were so many of them. I was trying to look for a certain diary which I used to now and then record some of the advices that he would give. But the few that came to mind, I complained to him at one time about a certain type of, you know, wasawis and thoughts that were coming into my mind. And then he gave me one amal, and he said, recite ta'awud, that is, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, 10 times after Fajr Salah every day, and 10 times after Maghrib Salah. and through the barakah of that dhikr that Abdul Rahman Saramatullah gave me. In fact, it was his dua in barakah that there was perpetuation on the dhikr and on the amal. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me see the fruits of that. Secondly, whenever, many a times when I used to meet him, he said, we do read Surah Al-Fatiha, Salah, we say, Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim, give us guidance and hidayat. What is this hidayat that we're asking for? So he says, you must make this intention when you recite Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim, that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant me hidayat kamila, grant me perfect guidance. And together with that guidance, grant me the ittiba'i kamil of Sayyidul Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the perfect emulation and imitation of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another piece of advice that he gave once was, we normally recite the Quran al-Kareem, we make tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem. He would say, when you make the tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem, niyat was something that was very important in his life. He always mentioned that it, whenever you do something, you must make niyat. And he would say, when you recite the Quran al-Kareem, you are going to make various other niyats as well. But one important niyat you should make is the niyat of dhikr, that you recite in the Quran al-Kareem, you're making tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem as a form of dhikr. Besides these, there were many other nasihats and many other advisors. They would copy a lot of works of the awliya Allah and of the ulama, etc., into different categories, into different topics, and he would distribute this on many occasions to us as students and when we visited him on occasions thereafter. We can go on talking about Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest levels in Jannah. We make dua that through his barakah we will present ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to ask, what have you brought for me? Then in response I would say that, oh Allah, there is only one thing that I have hope, and that is that I was a student of Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Perhaps being his student, show mercy on me and allow me to be his companion in Jannah.
Allahu Akbar. That's all we can say. What blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon this noble servant of his. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with those kind of blessings as well. We have our first caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ji, brother, go ahead.
I just want to mention, you know, Hazrat Maulana Abbas Saab mentioned that Maulana used to punish us. After that, he used to, you know, be so kind, he used to wink eyes at us, he used to give us, you know, the tea he used to drink in the morning, he used to have a few sips and give us the balance of the tea. You know, we appreciate only all this after many years. Now we realize the barakat of what, and you know, compassion that Maulana had towards us. Also, I remember early in the morning, it was, you know, my duty, he used to give me a watch to wake the students up. One morning, we had Hafiz Tumas up, he used to stand there, and some of the students, you know, we were mischievous, we used to tell him, just check if Maulana is coming. If he's coming, then you wake us up quickly. So he used to stand there, and one morning early, about 4 o'clock, he fell asleep. An officer walked into the room and he found him asleep. He asked him, why are you standing here? He said, no, the students told me I must watch for you. That was, and Maulana just told him, you know, go away. You know, didn't you see me? He says, no, I never see you. You know, that was the compassion that Maulana had, had towards us. The other point I want to mention is, you know, the funeral that took place, that Maulana Abdul Hamid Saab mentioned, that this funeral was one funeral where, you know, you go and ask for maghfirat for the deceased. This was one funeral where instead of asking for forgiveness for the deceased, your forgiveness takes place. You are such a great person. Jazakumullah.
Jazakumullah for your contribution. I just see one SMS on the screen very quickly. It says, Salams, the last time I visited Hazrat, he asked me repeatedly that where is your tasbih? And we said it's in our pockets. He said, take it out and read it. Hazrat watched and waited until we took it out and made us read in his presence. This kind of thing happened many times in our last few visits. I used to attend Hazrat's Thursday majlis, although I never understood Urdu. But the benefits I gained there and the nur I felt, I can never ever explain in words. Its effect used to last for a long time. He used to ask me, how's my daughter, in such a loving way that I remember it till today. The love and the compassion with which he said it. Jazakumullah. We have another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
See, brother, go ahead.
I'm living down the road from our Molisab. They passed away. Today is Thursday night. One of his predecessors was that he never used to leave the mosque without reading first the 40 duruds. That was his practice. And he always advised us that before you leave the mosque, please do sit for the kitab reading. I'm no alim, I'm no hafiz. I was not his student, but I was also in Niaz Farm. But he was a real, real jewel. I mean, he was a pearl. When you walk past him, he was of such, you know, his presence was so awesome that you just wanted to meet him all the time. And every day, whenever I could help him, I used to pass his house and go in, at least make salam to him. And there's another thing I'd like to mention, that, you know, most people know that you could never, never beat him to make salam before he does make salam to you. Even when he was very ill in his room, as soon as you opened his door, his hand was first out to make salam to you. That was his caliber.
Jazakumullah for your contribution, brother. That was an anonymous brother on the line telling us about his experiences with Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Just look at one of the SMSs that came through. The brother says, my name is also Abdul Rahman and I am also a Hafiz, and I never knew that such a great personality was living so close to me. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he makes you just like the late Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Listeners, we are having a little bit problem that many of the listeners are calling on the 011-854-1548 line to leave messages. Yes, you can leave messages while we are continuing with the program, but from now till about 9:30, another 6 or 7 minutes time, we have left it exclusively to take calls from the listeners who want to come on air. So the number is 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. Just to look at another fax that came through here, and it mentions, it comes from Maulana Ismail S.I. Desai from Amzinto. We'll go through one or two points here. The first point, he says, most deserving of the title Khadimul Quran al-Kareem. He was a true Khadim of the Quran al-Kareem. Good health, sickness, happiness, sadness, weekdays, weekends, holidays, normal days, he just carried on. It made no difference. His life was dedicated to teaching. This continued up to the last moments, to the extent that after his demise, whilst his body lay in the room, his hifz classes continued. I personally observed this that morning after Fajr. Maulana Muhammad, his son, conducted the class. It seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted his dua, which others have also heard, that Hazrat wanted that after his demise, in his qabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant him in his class. So this was also a form of an acceptance. Allahu Akbar, what love for the Quran al-Kareem. We have another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Go ahead, brother.
Just two short instances with Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. Firstly, how Hafiz Abdul detested fashion wearing of the jeans.
Ji.
When any student used to wear the jeans, he used to say, go to the kitchen and go and work in the kitchen. He should not like any student to wear the denim jeans or denim clothing, etc. He said, no, that clothes does not befit a student to come and learn Quran, and he wears clothes like that. And secondly, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib was very mindful of learning the Quran in luxuries of your home. He says, no, a person wants to learn the Quran, he must be taken out of his home and sent to the hostel or sent to the place where Quran is taught, leave the luxuries of home, and he will become Hafiz, inshallah. I had an incident with my late brother-in-law, where he was traveling daily from his home to the madrasa. He could not become Hafiz, etc. So Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib told him that leave your home and go to a madrasa, you will learn. After a few years, after he passed his matric, etc., then he left his home and went to the Darulum Azadwal, where he completed his Hafiz, etc. And after a very short while, he became a home as well. May Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannat as well, and may Allah Ta'ala grant Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh the highest place in Jannat.
Ameen. Jazakumullah for your contribution, Maulana. I know I was just thinking about what the Maulana we were listening to previously, the third alim, the anonymous alim, he was mentioning about the mayyat of Hafiz Abdul Rahman's son, his youngest son, Hafiz Muaz Rahmatullah Alayhi. Now it is mentioned that, and for many of the hostel boys, that Hafiz Abdul Rahman's youngest son, Hafiz Muaz, was the apple of his eye. When he used to listen to his sabak, when addressing him, you could see that love that oozed out of the father's pious heart, and he could hardly conceal this affection, the special affection that he had for his youngest son. And you know, it was many mentioned that he was a very brilliant student and he had a very good character, and some have said he was one of the most brilliant students ever in the Waterfall Islamic Institute. This is the kind of love that his father had for him. Now see what happened. The day his most beloved son passes away, he puts him into the qabr, and he comes straight from the qabr. He doesn't go home to say, my wife is grieving, my sons and my daughters are grieving, the people want to meet me, the people want to pass on their condolences. He goes straight to his class and he continues with his class. It reminds me of an incident which I read in Qimatu Zaman in the Ulama of Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda. He mentions that the great Muhaddith Mundari, who wrote Targhib wa Tarhib, he was also so dedicated to his, to his studying deen and to his mutala'ah, that he never used to leave the jami'ah, the madrasa where he was. And when his son passed away, they brought the son inside and he performed the janazah salah there, and he went till the door and he told, and tears were flowing down his eyes, and he said, now I leave you in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was so engrossed in deen that he did not have time to go and see to the own dafan of his son. Ya Hafiz Abdul Rahman sahab rahmatullah alayhi did not go home to see to the mehman, to see to the visitors. He went straight and he went directly to the hifz class, and there he went and he continued to the sabak. This was dedication, dear listeners. This was love for the Quran Kareem. What an intense degree of love for the Quran. What a high level of devotion and love for his students. What exceptional and total dedication to the teachings of the Quran Kareem. What a great lesson for asatiza like us, especially in today's age, when we get a slight cold or a fever, we feel now we're justified in staying absent. Look at this noble character. And this, again, I reiterate, is the lessons we need to learn and the lessons we need to take forward. Another aspect which Maulana spoke about, that he used to ask his students for maaf. The ustad used to ask his students for maaf. And this was done sincerely, not just outwardly. And only a person with true humility can do a courageous act. And yes, it's a courageous act. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam fits perfectly here. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. That person who lowers himself for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him. And we are listening tonight, dear listeners, how Hafiz Abdul Rahman sahab rahmatullah alayhi always wanted to lower himself, and look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him. The screen is full of messengers, the emails are here, the faxes are here, the SMSs are here. People are calling, people are ordering the tapes, the ulama are speaking, many, many documents written in his life. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated him. A member of his family mentions that he always used to stress that always make maaf and carry on with life. Do not harbor ill feelings. Do not continue with disputes. Even if you are right and the other party is wrong, continue. One person mentioned that there was a person, due to some incident, he was not talking to Hafiz Abdul Rahman sahab rahmatullah alayhi for a number of years. But whenever this person used to get sick, Hafiz Abdul Rahman sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to go and visit him. It reminds us of the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, that laysa al-wasilu bil mukaf, ولكن الواصل الذي إذا قطعت رحمه وصلها. That person who has a tit for tat, relationship with his relatives. If you keep with me, I will keep for you. Will keep with you. If you don't keep with me, I won't keep with you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that such a person is not an enjoiner of good family ties. A real enjoiner of family ties is that person that when your relatives break ties with you, you enjoy it with them. This is, look at Hafiz Abu Rahmatullah alayhi. This person was not talking with him, but when he was sick, he went and he fulfilled his right and he visited him. And they went so far to mention that later on, this person, he went into some difficulty, and then he came to Hafiz Ab and he asked for help. Hafiz Ab did not tell him that for so many years you did not speak to me, for so many years you did this and for so many years you did that. Wholeheartedly, Hafiz Ab rahmatullah alayhi helped him. These were the kind of qualities that we want to discuss today about this great personality, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it to the fore and create the desire in us to emulate it. The time now is 9:30, inshallah. Now we are closing the lines. We are not going to take any more calls. After we listen to the next three ulama, inshallah, we will open up the lines again for about 10 minutes or so. The next person we are, the next alim rather we are going to be listening to is Maulana Taha Karan, known by others as Sheikh Taha Karan from Cape Town, who is running a madrasa there. Maulana Taha Karan is an intellectual in the true sense. He came out first in Darul Ulum Dioban, and we know how many hundreds of students write the Dora Hadith Imtihan there. He is known for his work against the Shias, etc. And he is a great alim, especially in the Cape Town region. And he studied and he began his studies under the tutorship of Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Let us hear what Maulana Taha Karan has to say.
Alhamdulillah. Wa sallallahu sallam ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Everyone, somewhere along the line, meets a person or persons who influences his life in meaningful ways and adds value, direction and depth. And it is these individuals who later in life, when we look back, we realize that they were the ones who set us on a particular path. They are the ones from whom we draw inspiration to achieve the tasks which we have set ourselves. And then they are the role models as well upon whom we model ourselves. In my own case, that personality wouldn't be difficult to identify. Some 23 years ago, I came as a 12-year-old to Vatafal near Swam and became a student of Hafiz Abdul Rahman. And from that day, I had been the recipient of his attention, of his teaching, of his mercy and of his kindness. And most importantly, it was at his hands that I had memorized the Qur'an. And beyond that, it didn't just simply stop at memorization of the Qur'an. It was so much more than that. In him, we saw a role model, someone whose entire life was one of dedication, one of devotion, one of an indescribable love for the Qur'an, for the word of Allah. And it's only when one meets such unique individuals in life that you can look back and see how they have enriched us and how they have placed us on this particular path. With Hafiz Abdul Rahman rahimahullah, it wasn't merely a matter of teaching a person the Qur'an, the wording of the Qur'an, the pronunciation of the Qur'an, making him memorize the Qur'an. It was also, to a great extent, the living of the Qur'an. It reminds us of the hadith of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, where someone asked the question of what was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like, and she answered that kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His very character was the Qur'an. And it is one of the unique aspects of this ummah that whatever was present in the early stages of Islam, to a certain degree, can be found transmitted generation after generation by living embodiments of that particular quality. So this particular quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of his very character having been the Qur'an, this is something which we were privileged as the students of Hafiz Abdul Rahman rahimahullah to have seen in his life, to whichever degree it might have been. But it was an embodiment and a continuation of this tradition of a person's life and a person's character reflecting the Qur'an itself. Devotion and dedication is a word which will probably be used by most of those who would describe our Ustadh rahimahullah. And one can rarely ever find examples of persons who were so devoted and who so loved the Qur'an. I think the best description that I can find in my memories of Maul Saab, as we used to call him, was something that he told us one day, that his desire and his wish is that even beyond this life, in the qabr and in the akhirah, if Allah Ta'ala would ask him if there is any special favor that he would want, he would answer that if he could only have a few children to teach the Qur'an to. Such love which transcends even this life, which goes into the qabr, which goes into the akhirah. This is the kind of love that we were privileged to have seen in our Ustad rahimahullah. I remember also as a young 12-year-old, 13-year-old boy, sitting with my teacher, reading Qur'an to him. He had given me a certain instruction. He had given me, put me upon a certain path. He told me at that time that one day when you go back to Cape Town, you must go and start a madrasa. And I was very young at the time, barely 13 years old. Yet these words stayed with me. I stayed with also for about 8 years, went on to further studies, yet every day used to be in contact with him, used to read to him. And he used to reinforce this idea all the time of going back and starting a madrasa in a place where there's no madrasa of this kind. He used to reinforce the idea, he used to remind me of it. And one day he told me something and said that, you go ahead with the work, you start the work, and inshallah the day will come when there'll be a huge institute standing there. Alhamdulillah, the fruits of that we are starting to see today. Our madrasa has been in existence now for about 10 years, has produced huffaz, has produced ulama for the past 4 or 5 years. And these I ascribe without any doubt to the du'as of our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman rahimahullah. It is only with the blessings of the du'as of such personalities that we are able to draw from the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala, and only with the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala are we able to achieve these little successes in this life. What was very special about Hafiz Abdul Rahman was Ramadan. Again, I think this will be something which will be emphasized by so many of his students. I have been to many parts of the world. I have spent Ramadan in various different locations. And I think I'm in a good position to be able to say that nowhere have I experienced Ramadan the way we used to experience it in Miasfam with our Ustad Rahimahullah. And in Ramadan, one could see the love, dedication and devotion to the word of Allah. At the time when I was his student, he was already an old man. But age was no impediment. He used to come early in the morning and come sit in the Jamaat Khana and start listening to the door of all the Huffaz, even the Asatira. He used to come listen to the door of everyone who used to go out for Taraweeh. From early in the morning, from something like 8 o'clock already, he used to come start listening to the Taraweeh door. One after the other, Ustads and students used to come and read to him. The seniors used to read the entire Juz and a quarter, or the entire Taraweeh door used to read to him. The new Huffaz who were just starting to make Taraweeh would recite to him their portions and so on. There were so many of them that he would be kept busy listening to the Quran from all of these students for something like from 8 o'clock in the morning, if not earlier than that, right up to before Asr. And then after Asr, or after Maghrib, he used to take still further, he used to sit and listen to the sabak of the students who are not yet hafiz. He used to continue with this all day long, and then Taraweeh comes along. And after Taraweeh, he used to stand in the entire Taraweeh up to the end. After Taraweeh, there used to be Nafl Taraweeh to train the new Huffaz, and then those of us used to come back from wherever we had been leading the Taraweeh Salah. Reports used to be given. We used to be checked for our misdemeanors. We used to be advised as to how to go about. And only then would oneself go home. The entire day spent in the Quran. Again, thinking back, this represents to us that particular aspect of Nubuwwah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that particular aspect of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was reflected in Ramadan, where Jibreel used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran used to be recited between them. They used to recite the Quran to one another. Nowhere else in the world have I seen as much door of the Quran being made as under the wing of our Ustad. And this is something which all of his students will be able to attest to. It was a unique time. It was a unique training experience, and it was a unique model that I think I'm quite in a position to say doesn't exist anywhere else. It's unparalleled. And therefore, when we think of our Ustad and think of what he has meant to us, how his du'as have taken us to places and to levels and to achievements, then there's a great sadness in the heart that he is no longer with us. But this is life. This is sunnah of Allah, that everyone lives in this world for a set number of years, and thereafter we have to depart to face the reality on the other side. Most of us will be in doubt as to what the situation will be like. Most of us will be in a state, a fearsome state. But it is those unique individuals such as our Ustad rahimahullah, whom we look at and then we say, inshallah, most certainly, their place in Jannah is assured. This is our dua from Allah Ta'ala. There's nothing that we can do to repay what he has given us, the gift that he has imparted to us. But our du'as at all times are that Allah Ta'ala grants him great rahmah, great izzah in his qabr, great nur in his qabr, and beyond that into the akhirah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
سالك درب الصالحين يا أخ الإسلام أبن الخالدين أيها السالك درب الصالحين.